Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
You came to hear God's word, right? Correct? 2 Chronicles 7:14, we're in an encouragement section right now. God spoke to Solomon. We all know verse 14, and we've been working on verses that he said before he got to verse 14. He being God. Yes? And he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Let's stop right there for a moment. Are you with me this morning? Before you can really have a prayer life, you have to have a life of humility. Because anybody can pray on the fly when there's a crisis. But when you really make an effort to have a home of prayer, it first of all begins with the life of humility. I saw a bumper sticker again the other day, and it says, if it's up to me, if it's to be, it's up to me. How many know that's not valid? That's not valid. What's valid is if it's God's will be done on earth as he sees it in heaven. What God's looking for, which many people are not interested in, is this: people who are humble before the Lord. And the reason God gives us the extension of life is so that we would come out of all of our egocentric ways and walk humbly with the Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. So guess what? Stay with me. People that are not called by his name, it's not in their DNA to be humble. God humbled himself and became a man and took on the form of a servant. Come on, church. So if God himself would be willing to humble himself and come and reign here and give leadership here, don't you expect in his kingdom that his people will be humble? One of the things I still like about college sports versus pro sports is in pro sports, it's not about the organization or about the team. It's all about the person who put it in the end zone or who just put it through the rafters or who just drove the long home run. It's all about, come on, church. But at least in college, they won't let you do that. In the body of Christ, if we're going to have revival, and we sang about revival, and God is moving in this house, we've got to be humble before the Lord. It's not an attitude, it's a lifestyle. Are we taking notes this morning? At least mentally, are we doing some things? Wow, it's not an attitude, it's a lifestyle. So as we get into God's word this morning, I want you to know that God's people are different than the people of the world. God's people are different than the people of the world. Don't let the world put you down. And let me go back and encourage you. If you truly belong to the Lord, prayer is going to be a very important priority in your life. And if you only pray when you have a crisis, you're not a person of prayer. Come on, church. Jesus spent more time in prayer than he did in public ministry. I haven't given this up yet. I'm hoping someday I will work on it. Jesus would give up his night season of sleep to be alone in the presence of his Father because he knew that if it didn't happen in the prayer closet, it wasn't going to happen in public. Come on, church. God has always been calling his people to prayer. I find it interesting in my own life how well we're able to communicate with people, but when we ask people to pray, they go, I don't know how. Are you serious? It starts by getting over ourselves and just talk to him. Lay all the chips on the table. Let all your cards fall wherever they may and undress yourself. I don't mean literally in clothes, but undress yourself. Come from behind the screens and just say, God, it's me standing in the need of prayer. I remember 9/11 just like you do, and I know that for a season, our nation put up this panoramic view, God bless America, and how we need God. What's happened since 9/11? That is a picture of what happens in the lives of most people. When there's a crisis, we're all into God. But when that crisis is over, self is back on the throne. It's true. Let me encourage you this morning as we get ready for 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let me go back for a moment. The day you hear me preach more than you know I pray should be the day that I should no longer preach. I believe that. And there was a great writer who said, to your own self be true. When I'm interested in speaking, either here or anywhere, more than I desire to be in the prayer closet, something's wrong. Something's wrong with my agenda. I'm talking about me, not you. Jesus was a man of prayer. And he wasn't caught by the time elements of society. He walked into the kingdom and he brought the kingdom to earth. People are more time conscious than they are kingdom conscious, but eternity has no clock. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, let me correct that. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. So only the righteous know that he is a tower of strength. It is the righteous that know when it's time to run to the Father. I want you to know we're in a season right now where we should be running to the high tower of comfort and strength. I want to give this to someone in the house this morning. Out of that verse, he will be your protection. Stop depending on people. There's not one person that has left this life with the assistance of people, either to hell or to heaven. Come on, church. It is high time for the church, the body of Christ, to stop relying on people and look and live. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. He started it and he will finish it. Put your eyes where they belong, on him. He is your salvation. Glory. 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 The presence of the Lord is here. What God is wanting to do is to strip away all of the exterior so that our confidence is not in ourselves, nor is our confidence in other people, but our confidence is the one that was slain before the foundations of the world. He will protect you. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, so let me stop one more time. For someone in this house, God will protect you. God will protect you. Lean in on him. Lean in on the everlasting arms of God. I turned to my wife this past week and I said, sweetheart, I'm amazed at how the hymns of the faith are starting to come back more and more. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm not leaning on the school system. I'm not leaning on the government. I'm not leaning on Southeastern. I'm not leaning on stocks and bonds. I'm not leaning on retirement plans. I am leaning in on Jesus Christ. And that's where you ought to be today. The same decision that the two had that were standing and hanging beside Jesus is the same decision that you and I have to make. Are we going to put everything in to Jesus Christ? And when there's no way out, there's always a way out. One theologian put it this way, until God opens the next door, praise him in the hallway. Let me give it to you again. Until God opens the next door, praise him in the hallway. Let me tell you something. When the praises go up, I understand you know the rest of that, but when the praises go up, the power of darkness will be defeated in your life and in your family and in the communities. So praise Him in the hallway and don't bang on the door. Let God open that door. And now Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I stand before you to encourage you in the Lord this morning. Trust, this verse is for someone in the house this morning. I remember when God had me share it with Chris that morning that he was here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Prideful people bank on this, but they still don't understand that Jesus took thorns here for a reason. I won't preach on that this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You can't lean in on Jesus and at the same time be leaning in on your own understanding. It doesn't work. It might cause schizophrenia. In all your ways, submit to Him. Prideful people will never submit. They'll be religious. They'll put on that show. But let me tell you something. There's nothing like being around a man like David who was broken and had a contrite heart. God will not despise. That's scripture, church. And David wrote that. Yeah, but if people see that I'm broken and if people see that I'm contrite before God, they're going to run over me. He is your protection. It's a dangerous thing to try to touch someone who has a broken and a contrite heart. You'll run right up against Jesus. Come on, church. Listen, I would never preach out of a history book or a math book or out of a psychology book or any other book that might come to your mind, and I certainly wouldn't preach out of the Quran. I am giving to you the very breath and bread of God this morning, and the word of the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. There's someone in this house, Holy Spirit, I thank you. There's someone in this house that needs to know that He's making a way where there is no way. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Pastor, I just want to be happy. Trust God and obey God. Oh, that doesn't sound good. But it works out quite well. Spirit of the Lord is here. Let me say this to you this morning as we continue to move towards 2 Chronicles 7:14. Not only will He protect you, He is worthy of your trust. If I was to ask you this morning, how many of you have had defaulted relationships or people who said something and they never came through with it? This is why you do not trust, and man is not worthy of your trust. You put your confidence and trust in the Lord. Come on now. Come on, church. There's not a person, including me, that can guarantee you eternal life, but Jesus Christ, put your trust. Man, Pastor, you're saying stuff that I already know. The more that there's repetition, the greater is the growth in your area of knowledge and understanding. I'm inviting you this morning to put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. And when He says, take a step, take a step. When the Lord doesn't say anything, don't do anything. Amen. Glory. But as Americans, we're not taught to wait upon the Lord. But He's worthy of your trust. I was on my way to Lakeland yesterday morning real early, and I looked out and I could see the sun coming up, and I looked over to my right and I saw the moon and it was full, and I was going, wow, no creator. And then I began to just sing and began to scream, God, You are worthy, You are worthy, You are worthy. And I trust You this day with everything pertaining to the day. I put my trust and allegiance in You. Not in man and not in myself and not in anything of this world, because You're going to leave it just like everybody else. Don't put your confidence in your bow and arrow. Don't put your confidence in your gun. Don't put your confidence in athletics. Don't put your confidence in business. Don't put your confidence in your spouse. Don't put your confidence in other people. Don't put your confidence in your children. Put your confidence in the Lord. I didn't say not to love. I didn't say that. He's talking about trust. And your trust must be in the Lord. I want to encourage someone in the Lord this morning. By the way, that's really what I'm trying to do. While he tries to sidetrack you and pull you over here and set you down on something that I said, here's what I'm really saying. God is encouraging you that you can trust him. God is encouraging you that he will protect you. But how can he protect you if you won't let him be the shepherd of your life? I want to encourage someone in the Lord this morning from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I'm driving to Lakeland yesterday, and I'm talking to the Lord, and I enjoy talking to him more than anyone else, and that's including my sweetheart, my bride, my best friend. I love talking to Jesus. Oh, what fellowship. Oh, what a friend indeed he truly is. Do you know him? Let me elevate that question. Does he know you? Because the Bible says, and you've heard me say it several times since summer, there's a day coming when he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. If it's not once a week, it's almost every day. I'll go, Father, do you know me? Am I yours? Do I belong to you? Am I yours and yours alone? Keep me and put me in the cleft of the rock. But I want to encourage someone here in the house this morning. As I was driving down to Lakeland yesterday morning, I said, God, I still don't understand why I'm taking more classes. Why am I doing this? But when God is silent, his word has been spoken. People want a prophetic word or someone to give them a word when they won't open up the book. Open up the book. God has spoken. Trust the process. Your steps are being directed by the Lord. He's ordering your steps. Trust God. I believe it was Pastor Bradley who said a lot of times, we want to be able to figure it out. We want to be able to know before we step. That's not obedience, ladies and gentlemen. And it's the evidence that we're not trusting God. When God gives you a sure word from his word and he verifies it through the witness of others and then he confirms it by the Holy Ghost inside of you, obey God. Just obey God. Glory. I want to encourage someone else in the house. If you're looking for God to roll out the complete blueprint for your life and for your family and for your children, it's never going to happen. Give me proof. Get with me and I'll give you scripture after scripture after scripture. Here's one. Abraham went out not knowing. God loves for us to act and to know that we don't know because he does. So act upon what he knows. Glory. I hope you're getting this morning. Act on the basis of what God knows, not on what you know. Come on, church. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. Because see, the world will give, but the world will also take. But that's not our Father. Father is a giving God. He doesn't take. He is a giver, not a taker. And he is in full control and he is sovereign. Listen closely, church. This is why many people do not trust God, because they've seen the manipulation and the witchcraft and all of the other cunning ways of man who they've trusted, and they think God's the same way. God is sovereign, but he will give you your free will. But I'm inviting you to lay your will at the foot of the cross and trust the sovereignty of God. Out of that comes peace. Glory. I can't wait to make my way home, all the way home, and bow before his feet and to go, I am learning, I have discovered, I'm still discovering that even in your sovereignty, you give us the free will to where we can either switch it out or we can bow down. Father, I thank you this morning that not only in this house, but across this nation, there are believers who are yielding to you and we are trusting you because you are sovereignly in control, but you're not manipulating anything. Glory. There's no witchcraft in the kingdom. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. Ooh. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. I'm looking out on the seas and I'm looking out upon the oceans and I'm looking out upon the waters. Pastor, isn't that all the same? They're just different ways of getting you into the same thought process right now. And I'm looking at a huge ship, and on that ship is a man who disobeyed God. His name is Jonah. But Jonah didn't understand at first that his disobedience was going to impact everybody else on the ship. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. God will let you have your way, but when you have your way, you may end up damaging other people. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. That's why we used to sing, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter and I'm the clay. And many in the body of Christ have got that turned around. God, you're the clay. Now I'm going to mold you the way I want you to be. I'm going to fashion you after the God that I want to follow. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. So when the storms began to come up, and by the way, storms do come up in our lives. But I want to tell you that Jesus will walk right out into the storm of your life and he will speak, peace, be still. For those of you that thought that I've left the text, I'm still in the text, that he gives peace in the midst of the storm. And I want to tell you that he's a God who can honor your storm and bring peace in the midst of that thing. Glory. The other day I was studying and the Holy Spirit said, you can write all your notes down, but when you deliver, you're going to deliver it the way I want it done. I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There was a man, I'll come back to the ship. There was a man by the name of Peter who one time said, not so, Lord. Something's wrong with that statement. Something's wrong by the way he scripted those words. If he's Lord, you never say not so to the Lord because he's the Lord of glory. Well, Jonah finally came to the realization that the storm was going on and it was impacting everybody on the ship and the people didn't know what to do. But like the prodigal son in the old covenant, which would have been in the new covenant, in the old covenant, Jonah rises to the occasion and comes to his senses. And he says to everyone there in the book of Jonah, he says, the issue isn't you and the issue isn't the storms. The issue is me. Glory. Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. See, that takes humility. If you're really thinking about what God's saying this morning, you know that pride of man will never step up and go, I'm the cause of the storm. But Jonah came to his senses and realized that he was the point. He was the issue. And when Jonah was willing to go to them and say, listen, if you'll just throw me overboard, everybody's going to be safe. I want to speak to parents right now. Are you really concerned about your children? Then watch your lifestyle. Because what you're doing is going to impact those children for generations to come. Glory. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. You know the rest of the story, and that's not where God wants us to stay. But when they threw him overboard, everything calmed down, and everyone on the ship was protected. Because see, when the prophet of God doesn't do what God tells him to do, he can impact other. Come on, church. Oh, Jonah knew. Jonah knew that God had called him one way and he was going the opposite. I wonder who's here this morning that's been running opposite of what God's been calling you to do. You need to turn around and go exactly in the direction that the Lord wants you to go. I'm riding around the other day praying and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, if you don't love the region, you can't build anything. I said, whoa, Holy Spirit. Where did you get that? Well, the reason he didn't want to go, because he didn't like the people there. And he also knew that if God showed up, they were going to change, and he didn't like that either. Oh, church. Sometimes I like to just close my eyes and I can visualize, I can see things in the spirit, in the unseen realm. Because see, we're so attracted to the natural, we don't understand that it's the unseen world that's the real world. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place this morning. And what has he said to us? He's encouraging us to know that he will protect us. He's encouraging us to know that he's worthy of our trust. He is saying unto us that even in the storms of our lives, he will bring peace in the midst of the storm if we will simply humble ourselves. Because you've been defined by his name. And we should be taking on the characteristics of the one who has defined us. My son said to me last night while we were watching one of the games, he said, man, I've never seen that coach get so involved. And I said, yeah, and look at the players. What are you talking about now, Pastor? If Jesus walked in humility and he was humble, that's exactly what should be in my characteristic. That should be in my DNA. That should be flowing out of my life, that I am humble before the Lord. I will reach out to those who are in need. I'll go where he wants me to go. I'll do what he wants me to do. I'll say what he wants me to say. Glory. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Holy Spirit of God is here. One more verse as we move right into 2 Chronicles 7:14. As we move in that direction, we're coming to a close this morning. The Holy Spirit is present in this place. I want to encourage someone this morning to find that old hymn. You can Google it. You can find it. I don't care if you have to listen to someone sing it. That's not the point. Read the lyrics. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Most Christians are not yielded. Spirit of the Most High God is here. Spirit of the Most High God is here. And so then if you run around with people that are arrogant and proud and they're not yielding, that stuff rubs off on you. Let me take you back to a place called Hayes Albion. I was a non-drinking person. I started working all night in a night shift as a high school student at Hayes Albion. I was attracted to men who were cool. Cool for that era, for that time. Aren't they all cool in that era, in that time, now, today? And all of a sudden, a young man that had never been around alcohol was introduced, and I said, man, this is cool. That's enough of that story. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is this. If you hang out, that's why Jonah said, you better dump me, because what's on me is going to be on you. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. What I'm carrying is going to infect you. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. So if you're hanging out with people that are arrogant and they're filled with gossip and they're backbiting and they're constantly into everything they shouldn't be into and you run with that, you're going to be just as drunk as I was at Hayes Albion. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is here. You might want to turn to someone and say, I think we still love him. I always want someone to tell me the truth. And not my version of the truth. Let's pause for a moment. Father, thank you for forgiving me back in those years. God, I didn't even understand that the people I ran with, I would become like them. God, may parents begin to look around to see where their children are and where their teenagers are. I'm going to pause right there. Boom. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus because we don't have a bus. One of the other things, young people, before you squirm and just kind of pull out your plug so you don't listen anymore, one of the things that began to turn me along with alcohol, which didn't last very long, was good old rock and roll music. Man, did I love rock and roll music. But it birthed in me something that wasn't there before. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for kind of changing that. Young people, if in the quietness of your own life, if you're listening to things and watching things and you're starting to embrace things that's not a part of your home and not a part of your family, I invite you in Jesus' name to throw it overboard before it throws you overboard. Shall we pray?
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.